This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the Carlton Podcast. It is episode 20. Bit of a treat. The old team is back together because my usual co-host, Mitch Robinson, has been dropped to co-hosting duties on the Northern Blues podcast with Brony Hoclair as his co-host there. In his place, somebody with a bit of radio experience. Heard him the other night on 3AW talking to Mike Sheehan, Mr. Michael Jamieson. And Lee Matthews as well, Jamo.
Yeah, that was a month back or so on Saturday morning.
Now, you were very polite to them. You kept calling them Mr. Sheehan and Mr. Matthews.
They like that, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Respect your elders.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it with our special guest.
Now, I'm going to set up our special guest, Jamo. You should know all of this, being in the leadership group. You should know the biography of everybody under your command, such as it is. Our guest today, Jamo, believed his AFL career was over after being delisted by Collingwood at the end of 2012. But after a season playing some consistent football for Williamstown in the VFL last year, Carlton drafted the ruckman with a pick number 28 in last year's rookie draft. He was an asylum seeker, Jamo. We gave him refuge. Fast forward 8 months and another string of impressive outings in the VFL. He made his debut for the Blues during a round 18 match against North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. What a game. During that game, he notched up an impressive 10 disposals and kicked one goal. He is Cameron Wood.
How are you? Thank you.
Cameron, how are you?
Fantastic. Great to be here for the A-team.
Cameron, you had an interesting game against Freo. We will get to that. Of course we do. It's a bit of a post-mortem, as always, on the podcast.
And speaking of radio experience,
yeah,
Casanova.
I know, at the great Nova FM here in Melbourne.
Yeah, 100.3.
Can you give us a cross right now? Just give us a sample of your wares, what you used to do. Let's pretend we're at High Point Shopping Centre.
That's where I got drafted from, actually. All right, Casanova Cam down here at High Point Shopping Centre. Come down and grab some goodies from the wonderful Casanovas. Michael Jamieson making a special guest appearance.
Right. Okay.
So, did a bit of Smooth FM as well, actually.
Oh, really? Do you want to give us... Is there any difference for your Smooth FM? Is there a different persona?
Just Richard Mercer.
Richard, no, that's not Richard Mercer.
What's he?
Doesn't matter.
Mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Smooth. It's all about love ballads.
Smooth. 91.5. Is that it?
That's the one, yeah. Perfect.
I'm speaking as a fan here. In my own post-mortem on Thursday night, you were completely exonerated. In the Warren-type commission that I did into that senseless loss... I have absolved you of any blame for your kind of instantaneous reaction to just trying to get the ball the hell away from Frio's goal. And it was just bad luck. How did you feel at the time?
At the time, I wanted to crawl into the earth and disappear. there was probably a few things that led up to that moment. And I guess my kick straight to them was just the cherry on top. And then they kicked a goal with 40 seconds left or something like that. So... yeah, I didn't feel too good at the time. Still don't feel great at all. But yeah, it's something to learn from. And you know, as I say, there's always another game this week, and hopefully we can win that.
What are the hours like after that when you're in the change rooms? I mean, is there a lot of kind of bad voices in your head saying I really stuffed that up, or are there other players like Michael Jamieson from the leadership group who come over to you and say, "Don't worry about it," or they do it publicly, and then you know, on the bus on the way home, they just totally get stuck into you?
Yeah, no, it was good by the boys. They got around me, so yeah, like. I guess I'm not totally to blame, but I felt like I was at the time. But still doesn't really make you feel that much better. So if we had a one, it would have been a great win. But, yeah, there's always this week.
Jamo, you spoke about cultures before. We keep losing games by margins of 12 points or less. Does that speak of a culture that we can't close games, we can't finish them?
No, I don't think so. I think earlier in the year we were getting... pants by teams and showing not great effort. I think recently we've started to show much better performances and four-quarter efforts, and we're just missing out on games. So I think the next progression, and I think we're heading that way, is we'll start winning a few of those closer games, get some real belief in that we can knock those top teams over, and then I think the progression from there is we turn into a better football team, be more consistent and win more games. I think it's just a natural progression that... we weren't going well at the start of the year. We've got some things in place now that are ticking along, and we're either winning good games, like that North Melbourne game was probably the best game for the year.
Yeah.
Or we're just losing the top sides, you know, Freo, Geelong, Hawthorn. Bad quarter against Sydney, which blew the result out, but three quarters were pretty good. And then I think the progression is we'll start knocking those sides over, get some belief, and then we'll go from there.
Because it was a great three-and-a-half quarter effort from Carlton. It was just Doherty's kick at the end that... can you tell me maybe what his thinking was there? What I mean, these things happen, I know, in the dying minutes of a tight game, but what was your take on that, on his decision-making?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's no different to a kick that I missed or Woody missed or Chris Judd or Mark Murphy missed in the first, second or third quarters. It's just when it leads to them getting the ball back down the other end of the ground. And as Woody said, you know, we focus on often how the goal scored, but you've got to look back and look a bit deeper, and it's often something up the field. And look, in the fourth quarter, his kick gets highlighted, but you know, he probably just went for a kick that, you know, in the future, in that sort of situation, he might just kick long to grass and not try and be so cute, you know, that stage of the game. But, you know, there would have been 100 kicks missed for the day, and just to highlight that one's a little bit unfair, but that's what happens, and Woody knows that, and Levi would be thinking that with a little mark that he'd normally take that he dropped, but because it's in the last 30 seconds, you know, those things tend to get highlighted.
An old teammate of yours, I guess you could say, Daisy, had a great game, 29 touches. That's very exciting to see him hit some real form.
Yeah, it is good for Daisy. I guess he probably copped a little bit of criticism early in the year, but he didn't really have a full pre-season. Obviously, his ankle, I think only played four games last year at Collingwood, so... Yeah, he's be a great player for the club going forward. That's obviously why the club got him here. So, yeah, it was really good to see him, you know, put in a good four-quarter effort.
I think we forget with Days that we didn't expect to see him play until June. And that wasn't just spin from the club. That was, you know, legitimate expectations that he wouldn't be out there until June. So to get him 3 months before that round one, we knew that everything up until then was just going to be a bonus. And I think we're now starting to see that, you know, those post-June performances. He's got some fitness under his belt. His ankle's feeling good, and he's starting to play like the Daisy Thomas we expect and we've seen in the past. So he'll get some confidence. I think he had, you know, 30 touches or so, took some marks, seemed to roam around the ground a lot freer. So I think we'll expect that and see it, you know, not only for the next, you know, 3 weeks, but into next year as well.
He exudes a real kind of leadership out there, doesn't he? Because he's got a very cool head in a tight game. That's one thing you notice about Daisy. He's loving a tight contest.
Yeah, I think that's born out of coming from a successful culture as well, and that's great that we can get, you know, players like him and Juddy into the team over the last, you know, differing times. But I think it's important to have those guys that are too used to winning and as you said, to know what to do when there are close games and they're tight games, and you need those guys that have been there before and come over on the other side of on the ledger and won those games. So it is great to have that leadership out there.
Cameron, let's talk about how you got out of Collingwood. Your brother went there. He had the plans of Westpac Stadium or Westpac Centre tattooed all over his body. You dug a tunnel out of there. You escaped. You picked up by a helicopter and you fled to Williamstown. Tell us about your particular journey. How, I mean, as a professional athlete, we know you've done your radio thing, but that feeling or the... did you think it was all over when you got delisted by Collingwood?
It's a good story you just put together.
Yeah, well...
I was impressed by that. It's a little bit different to how I remember it, but as soon as you said brother, I don't have a brother, so I was a bit worried where that was going. Yeah, so I got delisted at the end of 2012, trained with Richmond for a week or so. They ended up picking up big Oren Stephenson. So, what's with the laughs?
I laugh because me and Oren both came down from North Ballarat together and trained here for a rookie spot. But I was lucky enough.
Are you as old as Oren?
No, I'm not as old as Oren. Oren's 31 or something. I think I'm 28.
He's got kids.
Is Ballarat the coldest place you could possibly play football?
Was 3
How
weeks
cold
ago.
Does it get in winter? And you're wearing shorts.
I played for Newlyn, which is just a little town outside of Ballarat, about 20 minutes, and we played in the snow one week.
Yeah,
it was pretty cold.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cold, bitter, hostile, unforgiving places, your
don't
journey out of Collingwood.
Williamstown. Are you going to talk about Williamstown?
No, Collingwood. Oh. You got out of Collingwood. So then you've got the news. It's obviously a hard phone call to take from the list manager. That's it. You're not there at the club anymore. And then, you know, you're only, what, 19 or 20 when that happened?
25.
Don't contradict me.
I played at Brisbane for a few years before the Pies. So
okay.
I've been around.
Yep.
Well... Yeah, where's your research?
Research.
Grew up in Adelaide as well, so I'll get to Perth one day. Well, I was there last week. I don't really want to go back. They'll probably welcome me with open arms, actually.
The statement Tony just said, is it right? You got the age wrong?
Yeah.
I guess the age. Residence.
Got a brother, apparently.
Brother.
The brother, a new person.
You're over here talking about Richard Mercer.
The whole brother thing was for the sake of a story. So give me a free pass on that at least.
All right.
And I'm saying you look 20. You should be flattered.
I know. I moisturise every day, and that's
thank
sort of
you.
Thing. So yeah, well, I was sort of the writing was on the wall a little bit. I only played I think 4 or 5 games that year. So yeah, they told me the Monday after the season finished they were going to try and trade me, and then I sort of said, if I can't get traded, what happens then? And they said, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So that wasn't a great feeling.
Yeah.
So I went to Bali for a couple of weeks and enjoyed that, so to speak. Came back, and that's actually when I had to train with Richmond, so I probably wish I didn't enjoy Bali as much as I did. So, yeah, well, I didn't get picked up or anything. So then I had a chat with a few VFL teams and then decided to go to Williamstown because they were the best fit for me, and I lived literally 5 minutes down the road from their oval. So, yeah, had a great year at Williamstown last year. I really enjoyed, I guess, playing in one team for the whole year as a, you know, consistently. I mean, we had the Bulldogs alignment as well, and that sort of worked really well, getting to know those boys a little bit as well. So, yeah, we ended up making the preliminary final and going down to Geelong. So, yeah, got the call from Shane Rogers late, really late. Like, I'd been away. I went to South America for a month. Enjoyed that as much as I did the year before in Bali.
Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah, worked as I was doing my Nova work, that sort of thing. Working at the races, just enjoying, just looking at the fillies. I was enjoying, just had an enjoyful, what's the right word there?
And then so a phone call from Carlton kind of ended that enjoyment. Is that right?
No, it didn't end it at all. I got the phone call. It was just a blank number. I let it go to voicemail. Got the voicemail. Shane Rogers from Carlton Footy Club. Just wanted to have a chat. I thought I was getting pranked. So I Googled Shane Rogers and he came up. I still thought I was getting pranked. And then I rang him. And then I sort of didn't give too much away in case. So I was just waiting for the big, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I had a missed call from Mick later that night. So I knew Mick's voice pretty well from my Collingwood days. So then it sort of all, yeah, seemed a bit real. And then met up with Shane on the Monday before the rookie draft on the Wednesday. And then he sort of didn't promise anything. He said, drafts can go either way, you know that. So didn't expect too much. Didn't tell anyone. Didn't tell my mum because she would have told half of Adelaide and then the cat would have been out of the bag. Yeah, then it just all happened. And then 4 days later, I was in Arizona. So
how about that? Jamo, your impressions then of Woody's first game against North, which was a great game.
Fantastic. One of the, I'd say one of the reasons that we'd won. You know, in those tight stages of big games, you really just look for a big man to stand up and take some grabs to, you know, take the sting out of the game, let us get a bit of momentum, and the big Woodstock did that. He's a smart ruckman. He knows how to get forward and kick goals, which is always a good asset for a ruckman. So the boys have really, really enjoyed having the big fella in the team. And it's always tough against Big Sandy, but he spread well on him and sort of took some of his own positives into the game, I guess, to try and, you know, restrict the 8-foot-tall Sanderlands, which is all you can do sometimes. And you'll have another big test, you know, this week against some young kids.
We'll get to that in a sec. What's it like going up against Sanderlands? An All-Australian, he's a, you know, he's a legend, basically.
Well, yeah, I played against him a few times before. Every time I play against him, he seems to be another foot taller.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I well and truly thought my days of playing against guys that big were finished last year. So, yeah, like he's probably 20 kilos heavier and 4 inches taller than me. So you just got to sort of do things you don't usually do. And it's more about probably nullifying his impact than trying to put the ball down your teammates' throats as much.
And is it a kind of almost a mixed blessing or a, how would you put it? Being a ruckman, it's so kind of specialised. Is that both a good thing and a bad thing?
I guess it's a good thing. Sometimes I wonder how good it is when I'm lining up against blokes as big as Sandy in the centre bounces. But at the same time, I guess if I wasn't 6'8", I probably wouldn't be playing footy because I'm not the quickest bloke around the 2K time trial in the pre-season. Am I, Mick? Not that you are either.
No, how's your time on that, Jamo?
I was rapt we picked Woody up because he made me look like a good runner when he came back from South America. So I always knew there'd be someone behind me.
Anyway, we won't get into that. Kieran Sheehan, which is very exciting. Jamo?
It's fantastic. We've got two Kierans at the club that we picked up last year, so he's been dubbed Gussie. So it's absolutely fantastic for Gussie to be making his debut this week. He's
logic behind the name Gus?
I think he was really close with his grandpa, and it's not something we introduced, but I think he's called Gussie back home.
Yep.
So it made it easier because we had two, and the other one's Casey. So, but Gussie, he came out a couple of years ago and had a bit of a pre-season, but I think got a little bit homesick and things like that. So went home, but still kept the footy in his hand, which has really showed. He can kick left and right foot already. What you want to see from a young kid, and especially a kid that hasn't played the game much, is just their real willingness to improve. And he's always, you know, the first and last, you know, first of the club, last to leave. He's always got a foot in his hand, kicking left and right foot. Doesn't say much, just goes about his work. So that's the, you know, real way to earn respect. And he's certainly done that this year. And it's not just a gimme game, because I think we've got four weeks to go and Mick wants to see. He's well and truly earned the right and the responsibility to pull the jumper on this week.
And how's Zach Toohey about having another Irishman in the team?
Yeah, Zach hasn't spoken to him all year, and now he's claiming him, you know, as almost like a protege that he's, you know, really just brought up through the ranks. But no, Zach will be very happy. He'll be someone else who can understand what he's saying out there on the ground. So if one of them can translate it to me, that'd be great.
Now, I'll just give you some bio information on Kieran if you don't know much about him. He was drafted in the 2014 rookie draft, international selection number 60. He joins Carlton from County Cork Island, Jammo. That's where I was born, where he played full forward in Gaelic football. In 2013, he ran out twice for Ireland in the International Rules Series against Australia, claiming man of the match honours. He'd previously trained with Carlton back in 2009, as you said, Jammo, being invited to the club along with Zach Toohey, who clearly went on to obscurity. While Toohey stayed, Sheehan, who was just 18 at the time, decided to return to Ireland. But that's very exciting. What number is he going to wear, Jammo, do you know?
47,
uh-huh.
I think.
Now, speaking of Lockie, could you give us the injury update on him, Jammo?
Yeah, look, it was unfortunate. I think there was a minute to go in the game, and he just tackled someone who sort of threw their head back, copped him above the eye. He was able to fly back with us, luckily, after the game, but unfortunately found out that he's fractured his, you know, his sinus bone just above his, I think his left eye. All right, I'll take a guess.
One of them.
You'd be a great doctor, Jammo.
Yeah.
We're going to operate on either your left or your right. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll take a guess.
Don't know yet.
But look, it's something that you can't. He's got to have surgery next week once the swelling comes down, and he'll miss 4 to 5. So unfortunately, his year is done. And he was starting to hit some pretty good form, Lock. So we'll certainly miss him. But you know, he'll be right in probably a month. So he'll be able to attack, you know, the off season and pre season.
And we'll be in the leadership group, you would suspect, again next year?
You'd certainly expect so. The leadership group gets voted on every year. But,
yeah. How are your numbers looking at the moment as far as that goes? Have you had a call, Woody, from Jammo?
Because I'm waiting for my call.
Yeah, because, I mean, are you sure of your numbers?
I hand out little lolly bags in come about January, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, right, it's just some of my snitches are telling a different story. I'm sure it's nothing. I wouldn't worry at all.
I'll pass it on to a young guy the next year anyway. Maybe Woody can take over my role.
Calling me young. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, compared to me, you are, mate.
A moisturiser again.
How old are you?
20.
20, how old are you, actually?
26.
Yeah, young compared to me.
Right, don't you listen to anything.
You born in Ireland?
Yes, I was born in Cork at Bond Secures Hospital.
I didn't ask your life story.
Right. I always say you were born in Ballarat, and you keep picking me up on that because you weren't born in Ballarat.
Well, how come? What was the situation?
But you played there. I thought you were born there.
You? Why were you? What?
My family are Irish.
Okay.
So would your family be with a name like Jamison if you go back far
enough?
No,
we. I. So I think it's Scottish.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay. You denied that pretty quickly.
When did you come over?
73.
How old were you?
I was 3.
Oh, fantastic.
There you go. Anyway, the podcast is not about me, Michael Jamison. It's about Cameron Wood, who's our guest today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cameron, as you would know, this weekend the Carlton Football Club is throwing its weight behind the National Bowel Cancer Prevention Charity, the Jodie Lee Foundation, and its hashtag I Know Someone. It's a campaign to raise awareness of bowel cancer, Australia's second biggest killer.
That's correct, yes. So we had a talk yesterday from Nick Lee, who unfortunately lost his wife Jodie to bowel cancer at age 41. So He set up the Jodie Lee Foundation. So it's estimated every year that 17,000 Australians will be diagnosed with bowel cancer. And that's the equivalent of a third of Etihad Stadium when it's at capacity. So, but the good news is you can do something about it if you catch it early. Yeah, so Carlton stars Mark Murphy and Andrew McKay. He's probably more of a former star now.
he was amazing in his time.
He was.
And a fellow Adelaide boy.
Yeah, get around the Crow Eaters, mate. So they're the big support acts, I guess, in the hashtag I Know Someone campaign. So everyone out there who's got Twitter or Instagram, make sure you put up a photo or a selfie or anything like that and hashtag I Know Someone.
Now, Gold Coast, let's have a preview of that particular game, Michael Jamieson, then I'll get to you, Cameron Wood, for your thoughts on the game. The Suns are fighting for a spot in the eight, which would be the club's first finals appearance, and they won last week without Ablett. So what's going to be the strategy, Jamo?
Yeah, well, sort of the first couple of weeks after Ablett went down, they sort of dropped off a little bit, but certainly last week they came back into some really good form, and we've spoken about, you know, our last month, we're going to be coming up against these teams that are, you know, either fighting to get back into the eight or to remain top four or to get some good form going to finals. And, you know, technically or, you know, finals-wise, we're not playing for those sort of same motivating factors. So we're going to make sure that we get up and don't just roll through these last 4 weeks. We really want to get something out of it. So that's our motivation, is to get some really good form for going into next year and to get some belief that, you know, come next year we can really match it with these sides. But as you said, they are getting back into some good form. They're a super clearance team. Mm. They've got some great inside players, but they're also one of the quickest teams getting round. When you think of guys like, you know, Prestia and Jaeger, you know, they get the ball inside, but then their spread's really, really impressive. So it'll be up to our midfielders to, you know, try and match that, and then, you know, maybe hurt them with some experience.
It's pointless to speculate, but if you're talking leg speed, would it have been good to have Jiffy in the team?
Yeah, it would be, but you've got to be running to use your pace, and, you know, Jiffy hasn't, his work rate in the seniors wasn't where it needed to be, so it doesn't matter how fast you are. Mm. If you're not moving anywhere, then that speed's not on show, so we need Jiffy to keep working on that the next 3 weeks, and hopefully you can get back in the AFL side before the end of the year.
So what will be the key matchups then, as far as you're concerned? When you're planning, you know, where do you see the players? You mentioned a couple that we'll need to shut down, but what are the other key matchups for the Suns?
Yeah, I think even when Ablett was in the team, people were starting to really take note of Dion Prestia. I think he's turned into a real elite midfielder, so we'll have to watch him. Swallow, I think he got hurt last week, but if he stays in the side, he's another really class player. The Jaeger Bomb is a great player, and then they've got some good backs that you can't, you know, let dominate, like May and Thompson are super players, and then up forward they've got Lynch, I think he's kicked 40 goals for a young kid, so that's, and he's fifth in the league for contested marks for a young player, is pretty impressive. So they've got players all over the ground that we'll have to watch.
Who would normally take Ablett in that game? Who would?
I think Trizzo's played on him. Woody's put his hand up, but maybe not.
You. Yeah. Okay. Who, Brutso, Carrots?
I think Brutso's played on him a few times, yeah. I think they had a pretty good record, so he might be someone who goes to a Swallow, a Prestia, or a Jaeger Bomb.
Okay. Cameron, how are you preparing for this game?
I'm just excited to be playing again, so I think I'm going to be lining up against Big Gorringe, who I don't know too much about, but I've, you know, studied his tape a bit today. So I think he was a, you know, high draft pick a few years ago. From what I can see, he's pretty athletic and moves well around the ground. So, yeah, I definitely have my work cut out. There's a lot of their players, you know, the best, the Gold Coast, their best is as good as anyone in the comp. Like, they've taken a few big scalps this year against Geelong and Collingwood, which is a game Ablett went down in, I'm pretty sure, and they had no one on the bench in the last quarter. So we definitely won't be underestimating them, especially the way they, you know, knocked off St Kilda last week.
Is there a better or worse grounds? Are there good and bad grounds as far as you're concerned as a ruckman, you know, when you're following the ball?
Going back to my Brisbane days at the Gabba, we used to, you know, the ball used to bounce about 25 metres up in the air at a centre bounce because of the cricket pitch. So that was a bit of a, yeah, interesting one. But
so what, that extra hang time is just agonising, is it?
It just sort of messes up your timing and that sort of thing. But yeah, from where, you know, a month ago I was playing in Ballarat, which is, Jamo keeps telling me how nice it is, but it's certainly not as nice as some of the grounds in the AFL. So, yeah, no, they're all pretty nice.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to another stellar performance from you. Now, it wouldn't be the Carlton podcast, of course, without the segment, Do You Know Your Teammates, Michael Jamieson and Cameron Wood? Jamo, you know how this works.
Well, not really, because I've only ever heard it up to the first question. But I'll, I'll make sure when I know it, I'll let the questions just be asked this time. So.
Okay. Well, can I explain it to Cameron then?
Do so.
All right. Please do.
What happens here is I read biographical snippets of a fellow player on the team list.
Yep.
You've got to guess who it is. Jamo got it last time he was on the podcast after one clue.
Last three times I've got it in one clue. And that's half a clue sometimes. Continue, though.
I'll do it off no clues.
Okay. The winner gets a Your Guide to Modesty by Michael Jamieson DVD. Very exciting. How are the sales of that, by the way, Jamo?
The what?
It was kind of... the obvious question would have been, they're amazing or something like
that.
Anyway, so it's good to know that you're paying attention. Look how arrogant. Yeah. He's checking his phone.
I'm giving him a chance.
Right. I think he's putting up a Instagram photo.
Are you ready, Cameron Wood?
I know someone. Is that what you
Michael
doing?
Jamieson, are we ready?
I'm Googling. I've got my Google out.
Okay.
Google Shane Rogers.
I made my debut for the Blues during our round one clash against Sydney in 2003.
Yeah, I know. You go, mate. Oh, yeah, you can ask more for... Woody's only just got here. That's unfair to ask a long, old question like that.
Put the phone down, Gemma. All right. Do you want to answer it?
No, no.
All right. In the same year I was nominated for an AFL Rising Star, all up I've kicked...
See one of the old boys. Carrazzo?
Yeah, but it's not.
All right.
All up I've kicked 243 goals through my AFL career.
Jared Waite.
Did you really have it at...
Yeah, well, it's an option. It's only going to be a couple of guys.
It's not going to be Kieran Sheen, is it?
No, no, good point. Well, look, congratulations, Jamo.
Good. You're just nailing them, Mads.
Yeah, you are. Coming.
Maybe I'll write it next time.
Okay.
And I'll ask you and whoever's in.
Sure, that's a good idea. Yeah.
We'll do that.
Yep. Let's take that, put that on the back burner, and put the burner through a paper shredder. That's what I think of that idea.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. Michael Jamieson, thank you so much for... stepping up today.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Tony.
It's, well, best of luck against the Suns.
Thank you.
Get on down there. And like you said, the next 4 weeks, it does, from my point of view, for whatever it's worth, we do seem like coming home a bit with a wet sail. The four-quarter football game from the club is not too far away. Is that fair, do you think?
That's certainly fair, and that's a focus we've had probably since the last month when it was obvious that, well, not obvious, but it was, you know, in the books that we weren't going to make the finals, that we wanted to make sure we got something out of the year. And I think it's important for supporters and for our younger players and for guys, whether they're tossing up to go on or not, that there's some, you know, honest belief that we, you know, can really make some good improvements next year. I think we are a club, you know, always these big clubs, you can bounce back pretty quickly. So I think if our younger kids start to believe that we can really not only challenge these top sides but knock them over, it gives you something to take into the pre-season to work on and get that belief that next year is not going to be another wasted year.
Damn right. Well said, Jamo. Thanks for coming in today. Cameron Wood, thank you so much. Lovely to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
And
me too.
Good luck against the Suns.
Thank you.
And good luck for the rest of your career here at the Carlton Football Club.
Thanks again.
I've been Tony Moclair. It's been great to have your company wherever you're listening to the podcast, either here or abroad. Catch you next week on the Carlton Podcast.